Time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Halfway through June, and it's a Monday. What could be better? Joining us, the host.
I know it could be better.
Host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, Bill Carroll's show. Coast to coast, Fridays at noon. Bill Carroll. Hello, Bill.
Halfway through June on a Friday would be even better.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah, makes a good point.
This one.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah. Occasionally I do.
Well said. Because you can't just get enough of him. Trevor Mayo joining us one more time.
Political commentator. How's it going, guys?
Co-host last week, host on the roundtable on Friday, back for a victory lap on this Monday. How are you, Trevor?
That was good. Good. Just putting in the hours.
Attaboy.
That's good attitude to have. All right, let's start off with the announcement today that more regions in the province of Ontario will open come this Friday. Here's the premier.
I'm excited to announce today that as of this Friday, the following regions will be able to enter stage two: Durham, Hamilton, York, Halton, Niagara, Haldimand, Norfolk, and Sarnia-Lambton County. This will mean more people going back to work at restaurants, bars, beauty salons, shopping malls, and many other businesses, big and small, in those regions.
Now, Bill, what it doesn't mean is people in Toronto, they won't be able to do any of those things as we are still stuck in stage one. Although the mayor did sound somewhat optimistic that it might not even take a week or so, but this is going to be reliant on numbers. What have you noticed? Because you're in Ottawa. What have you noticed when it comes to people perhaps enjoying themselves in that phase two? Are you seeing people perhaps coming from Toronto or other regions to enjoy phase two where you are?
You know what? I think we were a great experiment because Gatineau, which is 10 minutes away, opened before we did. And very few people went there for haircuts or to restaurants, or people just kind of feel like, okay, if you're telling me it's not safe yet, I won't bother. I'll wait a little longer. But I got to tell you, the city was so alive on the weekend. I had dinner on a patio on Friday night, although it's weird. They were all wearing glass shields. So, you know, they try to read you the specials and it's, and we have a, I don't hear what you're saying. It's like, and you feel like you should order a root canal, you know, you're at the dentist. So it's a little weird. And I got a haircut today. Same thing. You don't realize how social it is to hear people talking and you're sitting in a crowded room and there's a kind of a buzz and the music's blasting. Everyone was sitting apart and wearing masks and mumbling. And
yeah.
They didn't want you to talk too much and they wouldn't, no blow dryers. And so it's all a little strange. You're not missing a whole lot yet, guys. So you just relax. I would be shocked if Toronto's not just a week behind. I don't know why it's not open today, to be honest with you. I think the numbers are low enough and in very specific demographics and places. I think we're dragging our feet a little too much here, but like I said, you didn't miss much.
I'm going to be honest, Trevor, that sounds awful. Everything Bill just described, from the patio dinner to the
haircut,
the weird dentist haircut that he received.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I was out and about this weekend and I did some socially distanced things in the park, and you know, people are sort of finding a new sort of normal now that the weather's nicer out. I'm not rushing to get a haircut. I've lasted this long sort of doing the hack job in my bathroom by myself. So I can wait another week or two. I'm not going to run out on that. What I will say about this though today that I appreciate is I know that the premier wants to open business desperately badly. He's made that very clear. But he's metering that impulse with the advice of the medical professionals and so trying to find a happy medium, which is really what you want out of this, right? You want someone who is trying to, not listening to the Armageddon crew who's saying that we're all doomed next week because of this, but then sort of weaving a responsible way that like weighs the economy, weighs public health, and puts all that piece together. And so I'll give him credit because I actually think he's doing that quite well by having different regions of the province open at different times based on their numbers. I think Toronto's probably pretty soon as well. But I wasn't rattled by today saying that Toronto needs to wait another week.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody really expected us to be reopened today. I think that we pretty much knew that was going to happen, despite the fact we're under 200, and that's good for us moving forward. But Bill said something I thought that was quite interesting. I wonder if that's been, Ryan, the experience for so many people. All of these people, like, you're not one of these people that's chomping at the bit to go get a haircut. You're not one of these people that's going to go to Niagara this weekend. You're not that guy. I wonder how many people that are going to go and have that experience, and it's not going to be anywhere near what they expected it to be. And if anything, that brings them right back to the normal we're supposed to be living that much easier, because they're like, I couldn't wait to get out the door. I couldn't wait to get to patio. Then I got to a patio and it depressed the hell out of me. And now that I've sort of satiated that desire to do that, I don't necessarily want to do that anymore. And I'm just going to stick, you know, to the rules of my own neighborhood.
Yeah, listen, I went to Winners on the weekend, and I wanted to go to Home Depot, and I got to the Winners, and they didn't open till 11 o'clock for whatever reason. I guess they're on a smaller hours. So I walked over to the Home Depot. I came back to the Winners. There were 45 people in line in front of me in all of those socially distanced little boxes. I'm like, yeah, I'm going home. I'm done. This is not a good experience. I don't want to do any part of this. So Winners will probably get my money online as opposed to ever, you know, going back in the store, at least for the next couple of weeks, because that's just miserable.
Yeah, and every time you go out and now to a restaurant where it's, you know, it's supposed to be a fun social place, it actually is as much a reminder of the kind of the grim reality too, right? I mean, you're sitting in your backyard and you're starting to enjoy the weather, but then you go to a patio and you're reminded, man, people are wearing masks everywhere and face shields, and the patio is half empty. There aren't a lot of tables there. There's not the same energy. It's great that we're getting the economy moving again slowly, and I think it's smart to do it gradually like this. I really do. But it was probably, in some ways, I would have been just better to stay home and order in food.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be, the way a lot of people handle it. Let's move on to this group of students now sounding the alarm after a high school teacher was recorded in class using the N-word and questioning, this group of students is questioning why the regulatory college investigating the case gave her little more than a slap on the wrist. Trevor, this goes back to last year in May, where the teacher basically tried to justify her comfort level with using the word, which is bizarre. It was all caught on tape. How do they keep this person employed?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest. And I think this is a challenge with a lot of thing that goes through the college, is that, well, they have a pretty set policy on how to deal with incidents like these, or violence with minors, or all these other things. We don't necessarily get a really good glimpse into the full decision-making process. And because of that, well, we do get to find out the verdict, but because of that, it feels like it's never sufficient, and it's never enough on a lot of these things. Because a lot of them, you read it, the story, and you're like, why was this person not walked out that moment? And why would they even have the opportunity to come back? I mean, they have a history of misconduct as well. That's not their first offense. Again, something that we see quite often with some of these ones, that have filled out the pages, and they're in the back page of the college's newsletter every month, but still somehow are able to show up to work. This is problematic, though, not just because it was a flippant incident, but it shows how systemic some of these challenges are within the system. In terms of this teacher genuinely didn't think they were doing anything wrong, thought it was appropriate in terms of using the word, defended that even in some of the things that we saw about the verdict coming out, them saying about, oh, she was sorry, it was offense, but she thought she had contextualized it. That's a deep problem. And I think now with a lot of the current events that's happening in the United States and more racial understanding here in Canada, it's incumbent on us to actually now start to call out these situations and demand for more accountability and proactive measures within not only the school boards, but then also within the colleges of teachers, to make sure that this is taken a little bit more seriously.
Bill, this happened in Brampton. The teacher is white. She said, you know, I'm from a different era, blah, 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 blah. Is this a case of a really good union, a lackluster governing body here in the College of Teachers? What gives?
Different era. Would that be what, the pre-internet era, or what era is this teacher talking about? I mean,
1919, somewhere in there.
Everybody knows how explosive that word is. And if you are, then there are a lot of jobs you probably shouldn't do, including teaching. But, you know, I think you have to have a really difficult process, because free speech is important everywhere. And it's especially important in the academic world, right? You want kids to be able, and young adults, to be able to have very open discussions and in great context. So it should be a difficult process to get rid of a teacher. So that's, I think, what is happening here. It's set up to be difficult for very good reasons. But in the end, I think we all agree it should end in the same way. It's just not a word you can use in, I can't even think of a context in 2020 where you could use it, maybe to explain to a child the very first time what the N-word means, like what that phrase actually means and what's the word they're not supposed to say. Other than that, conversation with your own child. And even then, I'd feel like I wanted to spell it, right? It's like saying the C word out loud. It just, if it doesn't feel awful rolling off your tongue by now, you really haven't been paying attention.
And with all the conversation around this teacher, some of the conversation that we haven't had, Ryan, is about the young girl, the young black girl who was offended by it, who stood up and was ready to leave. And the teacher was saying, no, 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 you need to hear my side of the argument. And she basically said, actually, I don't. I don't even feel comfortable being here and I'm leaving. She then filed that complaint, to which nothing really happened. And then at this point, she doesn't want to talk. She feels traumatized. That's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that she isn't telling that story, because when are we ever going to see change unless we all, you know, talk about it? And that doesn't mean that she won't change her mind in the coming days. Who knows? Maybe her family will decide on the heels of this story that this is absolutely wrong. And unless they speak up, this kind of thing is just going to keep happening again and again and again with unions and with teachers.
Yeah, let's move the story right into this one. It has to do with the NBA. They had planned to resume the 2019-2020 season at Disney World in a bit of a bubble, but it's faced some serious opposition. Not only are players cautious about playing during a pandemic, but there's a group of players that believe returning to play would be a distraction from the wave of protests that have sprung up after George Floyd was killed by Minneapolis police. Trevor, I think it's easy to dismiss this, but at the same time, I kind of pump the brakes and think, okay, well, if there's a large enough group here that thinks now's not the time to be playing basketball, that maybe people don't want to see millionaires playing sports, you know, they've got a valid argument and needs to be heard.
Yeah, I would also take it one step further and say, you mean the NBA has a really deep history of being more activist-based. They encourage their players to be multidimensional. They encourage them to support causes and be vocal, and even more so in recent years. And Silver has actually stepped up and actually pushed that even a little bit more. So I think there actually is a really legitimate thing that's coming out of the union here that's specifically saying that, like, now is not the time, specifically as different either very notable athletes or people of color saying that, does that take it from the front page in the news from what's actually happening in terms of the social justice and equality movement? Or is it a welcome distraction? I don't know. But I think the players are actually raising into discussion to say, like, is this the most appropriate time, considering the racial makeup of the players of the league, and saying that maybe there is this is the time to hit a pause button. I welcome that. Like, I don't have a position on it. I'm gonna take their lead in terms of saying, if this is a time where we have to hit the pause button and actually listen to the social issues over just some people going out and playing ball.
Yeah, Bill, listen, I would love to see basketball, but if the players are feeling this way and that's where their heads and hearts are, I don't blame them for speaking up about it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a complicated relationship. Ultimately, who gets to decide? I mean, let the players among themselves decide where they stand, and then they can negotiate it with management and figure it out on their own. But, you know, even just playing any major league sports when we have this deadly virus still out there, it's a borderline call in and of itself, right? I mean, in the end, it's a game. So why are we risking lives to play it? At the same time, there's an economic side to it, too, and a lot of jobs that are not just millionaire players are on the line. So it's a delicate balance. You got to admire the players standing up, though, because mm-hmm. we like to criticize these. You know, they make millions of dollars. What do we care what they have to say about an issue? But when guys are putting their money where their mouth is and saying, I'd rather not get paid than do that right now, that's a very powerful statement. You ought to listen.
Yeah, and I think that's a big point. And Jay, you know, Trevor's right to point out the NBA has this sort of activist bent to it where, you know, mm-hmm. if a player took a knee in the NBA, no one would have blinked. In the NFL, they are completely night and day, two different leagues and two different ways of running a sports, not only franchise, but a sports organization and association.
Really well, LeBron quickly, shows up in a I can't breathe shirt. He warms up in Trayvon Martin's name, right? Like, it is very, very focused on these issues.
And we're going to leave it there. Trevor, Bill, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, boys. Take care,
guys.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.